Blog Talk Radio.
But exactly what you ought to be doing in your life, where you should be going, and how you should be getting there. Well, I am Lalisa J. Williams, your coach, and I am honored and grateful to be here to assist you. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and enjoy the show. You can contact Coach Lalisa after the show via the internet. You can visit the website www.lalisajwilliams.com, or for free coaching sessions just for you, go to www.mylifecompass.com/Lalisa Williams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Lalisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the show today. Well, today we're going to be talking about how you can still be a huge success even in this bad economy. We know that this economy has taken its toll on so many people. There are so many people who are just really not sure of what they should be doing right now. They don't know if they should hold up, fold up, go up. I mean, really, they're just lost, confused. Well, today I want to talk about how you can get what you want even in this bad economy. There are so many people who are giving up, wanting to give up, stressing out, losing it, calling it quits, discouraged, very doubtful. You know, and it's understandable. It's understandable. It is one of the worst economies that we've had probably in a good 60 or 70 years or so. And so we've had bad economies before, but this is one of the worst ones we've had in a while. So people need to know what to do. I mean, that's with anything, anytime, any single thing happens in your life. You know, when you think about it, it really doesn't matter much of what it is that happens. See, it doesn't matter if you were beaten, if you were rejected, if you were left behind, if you were taken. It doesn't matter if you were molested, abused, you know, whatever it happened, the key to the matter is your reaction to it. That's going to always be the key to any situation in your entire life. Whatever your entire life is, whether it's a week, a month, 10 years, 100 years, it's all the same. What's going to matter most is never, it will never be what has happened to you. Well, in a way, I guess you could look at it as, yes, what happens matters a lot when we look at it differently. If you begin to look at life as what is happening to me is happening to me for a reason, to make me stronger, better, smarter, tougher, wiser, better, smarter, greater, tougher, wiser. If we look at what happens to us like that, then, yes, well, then the whole scenario changes. And what happens to us is great in our life. Therefore, then, but the reaction will always be greater. Regardless how great the act is, the reaction will always have a greater significance. Because if something comes to your life, a situation comes to make you stronger, and you choose not to see it, you see, you may not get strong. You may not get very strong at all. And so the reaction then always starts with my perception. How am I looking at this thing? And so when we say, how can I get what I want, even in this bad economy, then our first thing that we want to do is we want to change our perception. Change how we see it. Change how we are looking at things. What are we comparing it to? Looking back over our lives and seeing, you know, how are we viewing this? What things have happened in our life to have us to have either a negative view or a view that is not very favorable? So that's the first thing we want to do, is change our perception, how we're perceiving this moment, how we're perceiving this situation, this time period that we're in. So we're talking this morning, get what you want, even in this bad economy. And for some people, the economy is really, really bad. People have lost their homes, and I'm not talking about to the floods. I'm not talking about to the supernatural things that you have no control over. I'm talking about people have lost their jobs. People have not been able to find jobs. People have lost their minds. People have lost their strength. There's so many things that people have lost in this recession that some people are absolutely calling a depression. Because when a recession goes on and on and on, as this one has for now more than 12 quarters, because this recession has now been with us 3 full years, all right? That's headed. It should have been at a depression by now. However, we don't see the depression like we saw with the Great Depression, because it's really hard to repeat something that you learned from. You see, so we learned a lot during the Great Depression of the 1930s, and we began the United States. I'm saying we because I live here, we're part of it, we're Americans, and so you can say we. So what we did was we put into place some systems and some processes that would help us to avoid that same scenario. And that's exactly what I'm talking about in terms of learning from the things that happen to us and not just succumbing to it and feeling that it's the end of the world. So therefore, we're not experiencing the type of depression that we had in the 1930s with what was called labeled the Great Depression. You see, but we are experiencing some challenges. However, also, with any challenge, I can guarantee this. Really, I can. I really do have the authority to guarantee this. And I've done the research, and the research bears witness. See, when you have something that can bear witness, that is something that you want to take heed of. You want to grab hold of that. You want to be able to run with it. And that's, you know, that's a whole other issue there, people running with things. Now, here's, even in this bad economy, you have any time there is a great obstacle, you know, and I'm talking about a great and mighty obstacles. But I tell you, no obstacle is greater than that stone that was rolled in front of the tomb a few thousand years back. And you see what happened there. And so anything you're facing is not that great. It's not greater than that. And then the same power that rolled that stone away is operating in your life if you wanted to. But anyway, so here's the thing. Maybe that's the sermon I'll use for Sunday. Just roll it away, y'all. Got to roll it away. All right, I like it. I like it. I think we're working on something. Just roll it away. Roll it away. Okay. Now, back to, and good morning, by the way, to each and every one of you that's tuned in. You know, sometimes I just get in and I just start rolling on with my topic. But good morning to those of you in the chat room, the switchboards, and those that will be listening via the archive. Ah, good morning, Pat. Yes, you, oh, that was awesome, awesome, awesome. Had a great time, and I will definitely call you later to find out how Sunday went for you. And I know it was a powerful word and message that you delivered to those youth on Sunday at 3. So we will definitely connect very, very shortly. And good morning, Mr. Paul Kiriazi, all the way from Tokyo, Japan, flew in to be with us in our virtual studio. Good morning. So we're talking about this economy and how to get what you want. I am so excited, to be honest with you. And I love when people say that, as if they haven't been honest all the while, right? It's just a phrase. It's just a figure of speech, as people say it. Now, I am so excited about this economy, I'm telling you. And it does seem very bad, but let me tell you, this economy has its own perks, I'm telling you. It has perks that the history books have talked about, the prophets have written about, and, you know, every other scholar has mentioned. Scholars in the business industry have talked about this time period, I'm telling you. Because whenever you have great obstacle challenges, there will always be, on the other side of that great obstacle, is a powerful opportunity. On the other side of that obstacle, there is an opportunity that would literally blow your mind. Literally blow your mind. And the problem of why so many people, especially Americans, but I'm sure in other countries there is, you know, they have their similarities, and so many people get trapped in fear, intimidation, fear, lack, poverty, problems, that they cannot see the great opportunity. And the opportunity would be so big if people would just change how they, change how you think. Change how you think. Yeah. You have to think differently. Now, we said, number one, you have to change your perception. Change how you see things. But you also have to change how you think. Change your thinking. That mental, that cognitive behavior. What you're thinking is serious, I'm telling you. The cognitive behavior is something that, a concept that I learned of during my past 6 years of working in a drug rehab and criminal rehabilitation center. That's where I've worked for the past 6 years, from 2004 until 2011. And in that system, the number one strategy to help people who were addicted to drugs such as heroin, cocaine, methamphetamines, and these other types of drugs, and alcohol, and then to work with the criminals who are also addicted to a criminal mindset and a criminal lifestyle, rather. And the main ingredient or the main tool that they used was cognitive behavioral therapy. That's the type of therapy they use. Just like if you were to go and get a therapy for, like, say you hurt your back. You're let's just say you are a football player or you're a basketball player or something, and you go to get therapy for your back, or you go to get therapy on your knee or your leg. You notice people in car accidents, they'll go for therapy. Well, criminals and people who are addicted to drugs, they use, especially in the criminal world, they use this theory called cognitive behavioral therapy. And it's centered around, there's many components to it, but it's centered around changing thinking, changing the way you think. What did you know, as a criminal, they would try to figure out, what is it that you think about crime or your victims? You see, just little simple things like thinking that a victim doesn't need that car. They can go buy another one, so let me go steal the one they have, that kind of thing. Sometimes it's thinking along the lines of entitlements. So the way we think is going to be critical in you getting what you want, even in this bad economy. I'm telling you, the obstacles that are coming around you, you need to relook at them and rethink them. You need to relook at them and rethink them to see how you can make them an opportunity. They may not appear at first. At first sight, you may not notice the opportunity. You may only notice the obstacle, because that's, you know, how it works. It's just how it works. It's just like when I put my clothes into the washer, okay, and it begins to, you know, that thing in the middle begins to turn around and wash the clothes. Well, that's just how it works. It just works that way. Well, same thing. When an obstacle comes at you, it just seems big, all right? In order for you to turn an obstacle into an opportunity, there's some work that you have to do. And this very work is the same work that's going to help you launch in this bad economy. All right, but another thing that you're going to have to do is how you see it, is how you think, and you have to change its position. You got to change its position. And what has happened is people put negative things in a very high status. They place it very high on the totem pole in their life, when in fact they should be trying to minimize it in a sense that what you focus on, you're going to make it bigger. And so if you keep focusing on the problem, all right, therefore the obstacle is sometimes, a lot of times, is blocking the opportunity. In other words, you can't even see the opportunity because you're so busy looking at the problem, at the obstacle, at the situation, at the circumstance. at the negativity, too busy looking at that. And so you're missing the opportunity. And then someone else in your exact same state is just booming with opportunity. Why? It's because of their perception. It's how they're thinking. It's the position that they have placed the problem in. Now, I remember when I came to New Jersey in 1987, I was faced with a humongous obstacle. I was here. I was in my early 30s. Do you know there are people who feel washed up at 30? Can you believe it? There are people who turn 30 and lose their minds. They feel like, whatever I didn't do by 30, I'm not going to do. That's why you'll see a lot of women, they'll run out and try to have children. Even they don't care if they have a husband. They don't care if the man really loves them or loves the baby. They don't care about any of that. They think, oh, well, I'm going to be 30, and I don't want to go into my 30s without having had a child. So I'm telling you, people lose, and then they bring a child in the world that ultimately can't get love nowhere, and then they begin to look for love in all the wrong places, and then the parents wonder, well, what happened? Why is this child doing that? Well, you set it up for failure from Jump Street because you brought it in the world the wrong way. You brought it here. That was good. We're glad they're here. But you didn't do it the right way. And so whenever we don't do things the right way, as my friend Minister Patricia Martin always says, you will suffer consequence. It's just that simple. Oh, you can still do it, yes. But you're still going to suffer the consequences of having done it the wrong way. And same thing, I had to do the same thing, you know, dropping out of high school, going out and living as a prostitute. Since that time, I've suffered consequences of that action. You know, just because the action doesn't kill you, it doesn't mean you're not going to suffer the consequences of it, all right? Because the reality is that there is a consequence with every single action. And what I love and what I think is so funny about young people, this is what they don't know. I don't care how many times you tell them. Most young people don't understand the concept of consequences. They think because they're so young and the consequences may happen so much further down the road and they really haven't seen consequences really, even though getting a whipping, nah, that's a consequence, but it's not one that's changing their life. So it's just you get whipped, it hurts for a while, and it goes away. It's not a consequence that's impacting their future. And so, you know, for the future to be impacted, it takes a minute. And so it's very hard to get kids to understand that what you do now has consequences, but the consequences may not bear out until 10 years. 15 years, 20 years from now. So we have to have another way to teach young people about this. But even it's hard to teach older people sometimes. So I had a lot against me when I first moved here. There were a lot of obstacles. And I could have put it in a very high position. I'm 30-something. I'm here with no money. I have a GED. I have a criminal background. One that I can't use, my background I can't use. I can't put on any application, any real past jobs that I had had. Though I had had a few jobs that I could list, thank God. Thank God I was able to list the military, you see. And thank God I could list that I had a general, an honorable under general conditions discharge. Because if it wasn't for that, I would have been mud. No, really. Well, it would have been a lot harder. I wouldn't have been mud because I was the type of person that if you sling mud at me, fine, I'll just go wash it off, come back, you know, type of thing. So that would, you know, but that's what I would have had to face had I, you know, messed up worse when I was in the military. So I came, I didn't have a whole lot, right? However, I did not make my obstacles my whole world, right, like some people do. Some people, they take their obstacle, whatever it is, and they make it their life. They make it their whole world. It's like they glorify it, and that's all they talk about. That's all, you know. I wonder sometimes if they, I wonder if they know if they ever spent more time talking about the, what they, you know, it's just amazing to me. Let me just say that really slow because, excuse me. I wonder if people know that if they spent, let me just say, as much time talking about the future and how things could change as they spend talking about the problem and how bad it is, I wonder if they'll catch it, if they'll notice that their life is changing. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. If, and, you know, and being a coach and a motivational speaker, you know, I think that's probably going to be a challenge that I need to turn into an opportunity to get people to see that, you know. But anyway, so people say you can take a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. Well, I believe I can make you drink. Now, I may can't make you keep on drinking, but I can make you have one cup, even if I have to open your mouth and pour it down your throat. I'll make you eat, drink one cup. Now, I can't make you keep on drinking because I don't have the energy and the time to stand here and to continue to open your mouth and pour down your throat. But I have the mindset to do it. Believe me, you, if I had the energy to do it, I'd stay there and do it because I just believe that some people, that's what it takes because I know that's what it took for me. My mother, she tried and tried and tried, and she opened my mouth, and she poured it down my throat. And what I love about her, and she continued to do that. And so she passed when she was 70, but she was tired because she was like, you know what, seven kids, okay, five of you, then, you know, listen, believe me, just take my word for it. The lady was tired. She did a lot. She did a lot to put us back on track. And I give her all the highest accolades and kudos in the world, you know, because we're living good now thanks to a lot of her efforts. So I appreciate, and my only regret is that I didn't show her more appreciation while she was yet alive. But let me tell you, that woman, you know, she was supposed to have been one of those mothers that you treated like a queen, you know. I mean, I did good. I thank God for my husband because, you know, God is good because he gave me a husband that from the day he met her, he treated her like a queen. And so I thank God. Let me tell you, I will always have a special place in my heart for Drew, my husband, because God knows she deserved, my mother deserved that for what she did with me, just my little life. I'm not even going to speak for my siblings. But it was seven of us. I'm just talking about what she did for me in terms of, oh, my goodness, wow, I could have been locked up as a teenager. When I ran away from home as a juvenile, I was only 16. No, I wasn't even 16. I was maybe 15, if that. And possibly I was 14. And she could have had me locked up then. You know, back in those days, oh, please. Take your child and lock them up and throw away the key. Not like today. The places are so full, they don't hardly want your child. But back then, oh, they had these places where you can easily take your child and leave it. And so I thank God for that lady that she kept on trying with me. And then when I got arrested at, you know, 17, she could have said, keep her, but she didn't, you know. And I was almost a grown woman in 18, when I was 18, and had gotten arrested, and they took me to this place in Cincinnati, Ohio, called the Workhouse, okay? Ooh, baby, let me tell you, there were horror stories about that place, horror, you hear me? Worse than Friday the 13th. The place was so bad, I'm going to tell you how bad it was. They eventually had to close it down, tear it down and rebuild it. That's how horrible it was. Decrepit, you know, rodents, everything, just the worst. And my mother would not allow me to even stay there overnight. She took off her good government job and she came to my rescue. And so while some would say, yes, you can lead a horse to water and you can't make them drink, well, I say try if you can because they may be the type of person that you need to. So anyway, on to other things we're talking about this morning. I just wanted to get that in for some reason. So I think that's going to help somebody out there who will tune in to the archives, or maybe you're listening and you needed to hear that little message. But it did work, and I just so thank God for her and her efforts, and certainly she didn't have to do it. She surely is an angel in heaven, for sure. For sure, that got her wings, turning me around. She probably got a set of wings to give away to somebody, you know. She got an extra set of wings because, listen, you know, Minister Pat knows that sometimes I tease Boo Boo, but trust me, I so understand Boo Boo. Oh, I was like Boo Boo or worse. I probably was worse than Boo Boo because I was a little girl, but and he's a wonderful kid. That's why I love him so much, because I can identify. I was, you know, in some situations, but you know, it was Barbara Robinson at the time when she was raising me at that age, and that was my maiden name. It was Barbara Robinson, and then she remarried. But Barbara, listen, that was a lady. That was a woman. Now, back to, okay, yes, people do. They do, Paul. They absolutely glorify their obstacles, and they make them their life. They really do, and they hold on to them. Listen to me. I know people who hold on to their obstacles with dear life, and if you try to take it, guess what? They'll fight you for it. Oh, yes, they will. They will wrestle you down to the ground for that obstacle. They don't want to let it go. It has become a comfort. It's almost like a person, sometimes people who are in domestic violence, marriages, and people say, well, why won't they leave? And this is sometimes it's the same kind of a thing. It serves a purpose. And these people's obstacles serve a purpose in their lives. It gets them the attention that they so crave. All right? Because some people don't realize that it's greater to give than to receive. So it's much greater to give attention than to receive it. And so if they would take that obstacle and put it in the right position, not setting it on a pedestal, not making it larger than life, if they would take that obstacle and just, like, put it in a corner. Like I tell some people that I work with, all right, okay, I know you're so attached to your obstacle. I understand. It's a great thing that has happened to you. Your parents left you when you were children. You were raped or molested. You were robbed or, well, you weren't killed because you'd still be dead. But you were shot. You were, your money was taken. Somebody lied and jilted you. You know, all kinds of things have happened to you. I can't think of any others. And so I understand you need that for whatever reason. We understand that because obstacles can become our opportunities. So just lay it down for a second. Just put it over there in the corner. I promise you we're going to come back to it. We're going to go over here, though, and fix some other parts of your life. And then if you want, you have every right to come back and pick up your obstacle. Someone crippled you. Someone, you know, made you lose your mind, whatever the situation is. I know he hurt you really, 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 really bad. I know it. I know how bad it can hurt. I used to sing those same songs. Just a thin line between love and hate. I understand. I know. And bet you by golly, wow, and just my imagination running away with me. I sang those songs. I know how bad it hurts. It touched me in the morning, but instead of touching you, he's touching someone else. I understand the pain. I've been there, done that, got the T-shirt, wore it for a little while, and then had it bronzed. I understand. But what we're saying, though, is that if you want to get what you can still get what you want, even in this bad economy, and I'm going to tell you why. And I definitely appreciate those in the chat room. Good morning to each and every one of you. We're here today talking about how to get what you want, even in this bad economy. As a matter of fact, I'm gonna revise it. I've already talked about three things that you need to do in order to get what you want, not even in the bad economy, but because of the bad economy, all right? So we've already changed one word already. Not even, but because of this. In other words, when I am through with you, you are going to be so thankful that we are in this bad economy. Many of you, not all of you, because some of you, you're not getting it. You're saying to yourself, no, I still got this problem, that problem, that problem, and that problem. And you're still using your problem as some type of a drug. It's like an addiction. It's worse than heroin and crack and those, because we can put a name to it. We know what it is, and we already have a cure. But when you become addicted to your problem and addicted to your obstacle, the relapse prevention on that thing is much greater. To get you off of it, first of all, we got to get you off of it before we can even begin to use any relapse prevention strategies. We have to get you off. We have to get you to break the addiction, like going into a detox center. You have to go into a rehab and basically separate you from the problem. All right? It's the same way they get people off drugs and alcohol, get you out of the scenario. So here's how you can get what you want. And I said earlier, even in this bad economy, but because of it, this is the best time. This is the best time. People are opening up their doors more for people because they know the economy is so bad. Let's just look at one small example. The government has extended people's unemployment benefits. Now, some people, unfortunately, they saw their obstacles as so huge that they sat home for the most part and collected that check. And it's already been going on 2 years. In a two-year time, 2 years, they could have had almost any level of certifications to put them in a better place in terms of a job or a career, or they could have actually had an associate degree, which they could have studied any particular field that would have given them some knowledge and some theories behind a particular field that would allow them to get a job in that field to gain the experience. Okay, so some people have already missed some very, very beautiful opportunities with this because of this economy, because otherwise you would have been working in an industry that even if it did not collapse now, it was going to collapse somewhere down the line, which may have been more dramatic for you. See, it may be collapsing now when you're in your 40s, but what if it collapsed when you got in your late 50s, right before retirement, and then you had to become unemployed? See, it could have been more devastating. So that's one way to take advantage of this bad economy and really get what you want. In other words, and go to school for something that you've been wanting to do since you were 3, 4, 10, 12, whatever age, that dream that you always had in this bad economy. Another way that this economy is helping, boy, when I say this, I'm sure I'm going to get a reaction from somebody in the chat room. Paul, if I don't get a reaction out of you, then I'm going to go back to the drawing board. But I think I'm going to get a reaction out of Paul on this one. Another thing that this bad economy is doing for almost everyone, and people don't even know it, I recognize it probably because I'm so busy, but I recognize it right away. This economy, I thank God for it, to be honest with you. This economy has slowed things down so much that a lot of people who are about to spin off into their death are now going to be able to live longer because of the slowdown, because of, you know, our country and the world. We were basically spinning out of control. Things were happening so fast, and new things were just popping out so quick, and technology was going at such a rate that we couldn't catch up. We just couldn't even stop and take a breath. Couldn't even stop and relax. So for many of us, this bad economy, the advantage that we have is that we've been able to take a breather, you know, to recoup, to get our energy back, to get revived, so that we can come back better and stronger. You know, every saw needs to be sharpened. If we don't take time to stop and rest. So in a way, this economy has saved a lot of lives. A lot of lives. I figured, Paul, if I didn't get some reaction out of you, Paul, I was going to really get worried. But yeah, I'm sure a lot of people never thought of that. You see, and everybody's only looked at because, you know, we have become such a me, give me. I want everything. And we've worked ourselves to a frenzy. And I said, one of the reasons I noticed this probably is because I was one of those people who was so busy. So for an opportunity to rest, think of your machine, you know, like your computer. Man, if you just, or your printer, you just run that printer, run it, it's going to break down. Anything that just runs, eventually it's going to break down if proper care is not given to keep it rejuvenated, keep it oiled. So I tell you, this economy slowing down is helping a lot of people. In other words, you know, like in a race, you know, I remember as we were children, and, you know, we would go outside and, you know, run these little races and everything. And, you know, there I would be in the back, couldn't catch up. And so you would be glad when the people with the leaders of this race are slowing down a little bit, get a little tired, because that gives you a chance to catch up. Everybody wants a chance to catch up. All right. All right, Kiva, good. Hearing from Kiva, yes. Yuppers, able to restore. Awesome. You know, a chance to catch up, because some of us had no chance to catch up, but the economy has slowed down. Even Oprah Winfrey, I tell you, Oprah, I heard she said in a comment, they reported that she said in a comment, because you never know what was really said unless you were there, but they reported that she said. And then the reporters reported what the reporter said. So, you know, some of the media that you see is like 3-4 times over, you know, kind of thing. But they reported that Oprah had said that she wished she had not launched her cable network prior to ending her TV show. She said because she was not able to give it her fullest attention, and therefore she, I guess, wasn't so pleased with some of the, you know, the results so far. But that, I'm just bringing that up. Now, for us looking on, we're just like, great, great, great. It looked great. But you see, I'm just using her as an example that people can feel as though they're, you know, time, you know, being pulled for a lot of your time and energy can overwhelm you and stress you out and even cause you not to do as great a job. We all know that, right? And so I look at this economy as an opportunity. It has given us an opportunity, some, a chance to slow down, take a little break. Trust me, I know the companies are screaming and crying because, you know, they are losing money. But at the same time, some of those CEOs, their lives are being saved by this very economy that is giving them more time to be at home with their family, more time to get rest, more time to do some little recreation, all the things that they got into the business to do. You know, a lot of people, they start their own business because they say, oh, I want time to myself, I want to have my own time, I want to be able to do what I want, and blah, blah, blah. And then once they get the business, they begin to work so hard that they forget to do all those things. And so that's just another little perk of this bad economy that you can take advantage of, and you can still get what you want. You don't have to go away feeling like a loser in this bad economy. No, no, no. In this economy, it's time to win. And also for those of us who it would have been hard to get into the game of entrepreneur, now is the opportune time. So where the door was shut, slammed, bolted, locked, and they set the couch up in front of it. Okay, yeah, right, yuppers. If it's not in the dictionary, Paul, please try to get it there. Somebody got any pull on getting words put in the dictionary? And so this economy, for those people who wanted to start a business, this is your grand stage. This is your grand moment. You may not get another one like this in your lifetime. I don't know, unless you're 20. But if you're in your 40s or 50s and 60s and you want to start a business, this is your grand moment. Any age, it doesn't matter. I don't care if you're 15. This is the grand period. So I won't say age, but age meaning like a period, a time period, like Stone Age. And, you know, this is the age of business ownership like never before. If you've ever, because why? And not just because the economy or the federal government has all types of loan programs that they're rolling out to the banks for small businesses, and not just because you have so many entrepreneurs out there with so much education to help you be successful in the small business. However, it is the time period where this economy, the only way it's going to pull itself up out of this economic state we're in is their small business is going to do it. If big business, put it like this, if big businesses were going to pull us out, we would have been out by now. We've been here 3 years now, okay? So if big business, because big business, they've been around. Big business, you know, big businesses have been around for a long time. So if the big businesses were going to pull us out, we'd already be out, all right? But no, it is the small business, the small business owners that pull up the economy. And so therefore, if you want to get a business, this is your best time to get it. They're making all kinds of opportunities. They're forgiving all kinds of past mishaps that you may have had if you had a business. There's training galore. There's opportunities being taught. There's no excuse that you, and actually here in New Jersey, we have something that I had never seen before. I don't know how long it's been in operation, but I think it's fairly new. They have a program here where you can use your unemployment dollars and your unemployment time. Well, the unemployment will use the government's dollars, and you use your time to go and get a 60-hour entrepreneurial training certificate that will teach you how to start a business, because their push now is to get you off unemployment. And they realize that one of the ways to get you working, if they can't get you, well, listen, the unemployment, the Department of Labor, right, at the federal government level, they're the ones who keep track of everybody working in every business. Now, they want people working, obviously, right? And so typically they know the right people with jobs and things like that. People that are unemployed can go there and get benefits. Well, look at this scenario. Here they are. They need you off unemployment, but nobody will hire you. And it's not just the criminals. It's not just people that have been locked up. It's not just people that have other issues. It's all kinds of people. People with the highest degrees all the way down to absolutely no degrees. All kinds of people, all walks of life. I don't mean criminals, but I mean individuals that have been incarcerated. And so everybody's needing jobs, and they're like, okay, we're trying to get people jobs. Nobody can get jobs, I'm just saying, for the most part. Jobs are very hard to come by, unless, of course, you want to work at McDonald's and Burger King because people are still eating out. I mean, you don't want to work there. I know you don't want to work there. Trust me. I will never recommend McDonald's, Popeyes, or any of those places to anyone other than somebody 18 years or under who is living at home, who is living with their parents, and they just need a little extra money. Because I did not know that those companies, well, I don't know if this is across the board, but here in New Jersey, I did not know that those companies offer absolutely no benefits. I really did not know that. And I know that there's no way you're going to work and not have benefits. I just think that's wrong. I don't even know why they're allowed to get away with it. I have no idea. But that probably would be a whole nother radio show. But I just think that's disgusting that they have no benefits whatsoever. I'm just saying, I can see a small business owner not being able to pay medical and things like that. I could kind of understand that, but you should be able to at least do FICA and some other things. But to be a big corporation like McDonald's, come on. McDonald's, of all places, I could see even if some of the other ones did not. But maybe McDonald's does, I don't know. But that's what I was told. I was actually in Wendy's, and I asked the lady, oh, what benefits y'all get here? And she was like, lady, are you kidding? Like, I know you're joking. You got a hidden camera, and somewhere you're going to pop out and say you're on camera. I was like, no, I'm serious. I'm looking for a job for some people, and I wanted to know. She was like, well, we have no benefits. And I was like, oh, okay. So anyway, so business owners, so this is a great opportunity. So the unemployment wants you off unemployment. They have to get the numbers down. That's their job. That's what they get paid to do. All right? Federal government, that's what they get paid to do. They have a Department of Labor, and every state has a Department of Labor. And then every city has an office or two. The bigger the city, the more, like in Newark, we have a bunch of offices because Newark is very big. There's a lot of people. We have these one-stop centers where you can go there, get training, get your benefits, look for jobs, and all rolled into one. So here we are with this unemployment thing. They want you off. Well, what better? They can't get you a job, so why not let you be an employer? Okay, so since we can't get anybody to hire you, well, why don't we make you an employer? And guess who's the first person you can hire? You got it, yourself. Hire yourself. Now that's at least one person off the unemployment roll. And you will possibly need to hire at least one other person to help you do whatever it is you're going to do. And so now that's two people off unemployment. Wow, yippee, they're happy, they're excited. They got two people hired. They're like bubbling. Possibly, maybe three people. Hey, wouldn't that be something? Don't mess around and go to them with a plan where you're going to hire like 15 people. What? They probably would have you on the Oprah Winfrey Show. They probably put you on the nightly news. And you would be big news if you could come up with a plan right now to start a business and hire anywhere from like 15 to 20 people, and it was a solid business plan. You could easily go to the federal government, and they probably would fund the whole project for the most part. Because you would be helping, you know, funded through, you know, I'm saying through connecting you with the various banks out there and things like that. And they would help you because that's what they're looking for right now. So that was my big news today. That's what I wanted to share with you. That's my big get what you want, even in this bad economy or because of this bad. So take advantage of the slowness of it right now. Things are, take advantage of that. Don't curse it. Take advantage of it. Okay, it's slow for a reason.
time for you to catch up. It's a time for you to, you know, get ready, get prepared for what's coming. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Because it's going to pick back up, and this time it picks up. It's going full speed ahead. So you want to be fully prepared. So get any certificate. During this time, we may be here, we may be like this for another year. But during this time, it may be 6 months. I'm not sure. I'm not a full economist. But one thing I do know is that the economy has ebbs and lows, ups and downs. It doesn't stay down forever, okay? But it doesn't stay up forever either. It goes up and down, up and down, up and down, a little bit down, a little bit up, a little bit more. Like, that's how it goes, you can imagine. Just like a little wavy thing, but not all the way down, not all the way up. But so that's how it goes. And so we're just in that down period. But, boy, it's when it makes that turn, I'm telling you, people are going to be left behind. So we're going to show you how to get what you want, even in this time period, because of this time period. You're going to start whatever business you want. I don't care if you want to start a brand new studio. I don't care if you want to start a computer school. You want to start a business where you are, whatever it is, this is the time to do it. I mean, do some research and see what people want, you see. And it's an easier research than when you want to just go work for somebody. You have to go and research and see, you know, what companies, they might be in the wrong business, and maybe that's why their business is not thriving. So you have an opportunity to go and see what it is that people want. I could give you a few ideas, you know, but I will do that. I don't have time to do it on this show. We're almost down to the very, very last minute. So remember, get what you want. You've got to definitely do three things. You're going to have to change your perception, and then you're going to have to change how you think. Then you're going to have to change the position of that obstacle. Because right now, there could be an obstacle that you see that's in the way of you getting that business. Turn it around. Put that obstacle in a corner. Maybe you might have a finance might be your obstacle. Your spouse might be your obstacle. People around you may be the obstacle. Your friends, the people that you're tied to, the people that you're not connected to may be your obstacle. If you're not achieving what you want in this period, there's an obstacle that is in your way that you have not moved, or there is a thinking that you have that you're thinking that is not correct, or there is some way that you're looking at this thing that is not correct. One of those three things are happening. And so in order to really get what you want right now, you're going to have to look at those three things, and you're going to have to make the adjustments that we've talked about in this show. Well, that's all we have time for. We thank you for tuning in to the show. Thank you, Mr. Coach K and Mr. Paul, Pat Kiva, John Slim. Thank you. Thank you for your comments in the chat room. For those who will tune back in to the archives, we thank you and we appreciate you. Appreciate you for tuning in. Don't forget to tune in again tomorrow, Tuesday. We have another exciting show for you, and it's been great. It's been real. Got it. Moving on up.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach Lalisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach Lalisa Show could be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach Lalisa J. Williams.